Let's again read the word of God in the book of Genesis at chapter 6. The Genesis chapter 6, reading from the beginning of the chapter. It came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. But the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man in the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, with man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. The Lord would enable us to might consider together verse 3. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now the days before Noah's flood were sad days. There were days when the godly line, the descendants of Seth, or others who were with them, they degenerated. And we saw that last week, how that happened. Began to think with the world, and they began to associate with the world, get involved in the world, and become like them. That was seen in the sons of God, those who were the descendants of Seth, marrying the daughters of man, marrying who they were, marrying without any thought to the spiritual standing or interest of the women who they were interested in. They were fair. That's what mattered to them. And so the godly degenerated. And amongst both them and others, there were people who were fierce people. Those giants in the earth, those men who were, it would appear, fearsome people, who were given over to wickedness and got a name for their wickedness. And so there's a situation where God, seeing the wickedness of man great in the earth, if the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, ungodliness and wickedness abounding. And so there's this warning given. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There was the Holy Spirit at work, using various means, as he was striving with man, calling him to be restrained in his life, seeking to restrain sin and calling sinners to repentance. And God saying, look, this will only go on so long. The day is going to come when that striving will finish and when judgment will come. What he is saying here is, look, there's 120 years. There is only so long that I'm going to continue that striving with man and calling him to repentance, to desist from his wicked way. And then judgment will come. Friends, there is a warning here to nations generally and to people individually. There's a warning here in these words to how people, islands, nations, if they reject the truth, trouble will come. And there's a warning to individuals, and if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, there's a warning to you that you must pause, that you must listen, that you must repent of your sin now. Because God, if He is striving with you and applying the truth to your soul, will not always strive with men, and may stop striving with you. And that would be serious. And therefore you must listen, stop resisting, and repent now. We'll notice two things. We'll notice, first of all, the nature of the Spirit striving with men. And then secondly, the danger of resisting the Spirit's striving with men. First of all, the nature of the Spirit's striving with men. What's this about? What does it mean when God says, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man"? Well, we can view it in two ways. We can view it, firstly, as the Holy Spirit acting generally to restrain sin in society. And that's an important thing for us to remember. That He is at work, generally, that He might restrain sin in society. Now friends, that's a necessary thing. You know, we live in a day and age where many think man is essentially good. That's all you need to do. Just give him a bit of education. Give him a reasonable amount of wealth. Comfortable surroundings to live in. A half-decent upbringing. And he's bound to turn out good. Friends, is that not foolish talk? The evidence around us proclaims that is foolish. How many people have lacked a good education, have lacked even a good upbringing, have certainly lacked much of this world's goods, and yet have been decent, ordinary people? Whereas how many people have been educated, have had plenty of this world's goods, and they are devious and cunning, and they're out for their own. They are crooks. You get them in high places, amongst the wealthy, as well as amongst those who have pure education and pure chance of getting very far in life. You see, man by nature is not good. We are all of an unclean thing. We are sinners by nature and practice. What does sin do? It hardens the soul. And left to himself, man degenerates in sin. What did Paul say to Timothy? Evil men and seducers shall wax, shall grow worse and worse. They'll get emboldened in their sin. And they'll grow in their depth and the depravity of their sin. They'll not be content with the sins that they practice. They'll plunge more and more into sin, never satisfied with sin. Isn't that what happens? Here's this moral disorder, and it grows and grows. Because sin is like a plague. It's like some illness, some virus. You think of people, and they seem quite well. A little virus gets in. And for a time they go on. And then it seems to get a stronger and stronger hold on them. And this tiny little virus can lay them low as it multiplies and multiplies. And takes over and stops the body functioning. Sin not like that. It's like a plague, which strengthens itself in the souls of people, if there isn't something to restrain it. Doesn't sin deaden our senses and deaden the conscience, distort the passions? What happens if you do something which you may feel is wrong? You begin to harden your conscience. Then you get used to it. Then you do it more often. You know, someone who say, we'll never miss attendance at God's house. And then you miss it once. Then again. Then it becomes a regular pattern. Perhaps at one end of the day. Then both ends of the day in the Sabbath. What's happened? Their conscience. Their consciousness of the fact that they should be worshipping God. And under the worship of God, it becomes dead. So it is with many sins. People become deadened. Their conscience, the alarm bell no longer ringing out. So you see, without God's restraint of man, he would become like a demon. He becomes worse and worse. He lives as if he is mere flesh. Than any thought of God and the ways of God. How there is a need for God to restrain sin in society. And mercifully he does that. He intervenes. And he deals with people. He gives an opportunity for the truth to be preached. He stops men becoming as bad as they could be. He gives civil government and the threat of the civil government in order to try and control men. And enables them to live despite sin. See, what's he doing? At times he is pointing men to the truth. Challenging their thoughts. That's the idea of the striving. Challenging the thoughts. Showing that the way they're thinking may be wrong. And turning them, seeking to keep them from sin. So what happens? He reminds people there is a God who they'll have to give account to. He pricks their conscience. He brings the fact of their sin to bear upon them and makes them feel bad so that they might turn from sin. He applies the commandments written in their hearts to restrain them. And in a society where there's the gospel preached, well, how that is a restraining influence. Why? Because people don't want to be seen doing things that others might condemn. It brings a general awareness of the truth of God and the law of God and the fear of death upon them. You think of Enoch, how he preached of God's judgment. You think of Noah, of how he preached to those who are now in hell, when God was in his long suffering, delaying the coming of the flood. He was a preacher of righteousness, challenging the people. Striving with men, calling them away from their ungodliness, calling them from their sin. And so at times, the Lord is at work, restraining sin, that men might not be as bad as they could be. Aren't we to pray that God would even do that? We live in an ungodly age. People are throwing aside all restraint. And aren't we to pray for our rulers, that they might promote living, that they might rule in such a way as to promote godliness and honesty. Why? That the gospel might prosper. That there might be peace for the advance of the gospel. God restraining people. We should pray that we might get counselors in our own island who would stand up for the Sabbath, even if they're not converted people. Why? Because that is a restraining influence on people and helps preserve that awareness of God and that calling of people to the truth. He acts generally to restrain sin. But notice he acts specifically to speak of the things of Christ. But either Stephen, I found time and time again God was speaking to the Jews. They send in the prophets, and what happens? They're always resisting the Holy Ghost. They don't want to hear the message of the gospel. See, here is the work of the Spirit. Part of his work is to apply the truth as it is preached and declared. He strives with men. Has he been doing that to you recently? Over months, perhaps over years? He's challenging you about your need, and you've been convicted of sin. He's teaching you the truth about yourself as a being accountable to God, made by Him, accountable to Him, exposing your sin and giving you concern for your soul, warning you of judgment to come. He speaks to many. Has He been speaking to you? All give thanks. He strives with men. He doesn't leave you to go on in rebellion and unbelief. At the times He doesn't leave society to go on in rebellion and unbelief. But remember, there's such a thing as what the Confession of Faith calls the common operations of the Spirit, when He strives, where He presses the truth home. And where you agree with Him when He's saying, that's wrong and you've done wrong. In judgment, that's what you deserve. And yet you can hear all these things, and you can have a certain taste for the things of God, and a certain concern, and even a desire to be somehow found in Christ. And yet at the same time they're saying, well, not quite yet. I don't know if I want to quite yet surrender to Christ and depart from sin. You have a conviction of sin. A good thing. Because part of His work is to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And friend, you must not rest there. It is not enough to know you're a sinner. The damned in hell know they are sinners. They know what they deserve. They're experiencing God's judgment. But you have the fear of this will not save you. You need Christ. As the Holy Spirit strives with you, He is saying to you, you're a sinner. God has provided a merciful way of salvation in Christ. Close with Him as He has offered to you in the gospel. Friend, are you fighting back as it were? You're striving with Him. That's a dangerous thing. You must not resist Him. You must not fight Him. You must submit. Make sure you do that. Because it is dangerous to strive against Him, to resist Him. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, thank God that with some He continues. And He irresistibly draws them to Christ. make sure you're drawn to Him. Because notice, secondly, the danger of resisting the striving of the Spirit. It's a dangerous thing. You like the people in the days of Noah. In various ways, God was striving with them, warning them, and especially making the gospel to some. And when they heard the truth, and especially when they were being called to Christ, He was striving with them, because Noah preached Christ to those who were alive before the flood. 1 Peter 3 tells us that those spirits who rebelled and resisted were now in prison because of it. Don't be like them. You see, God's patience will not last forever. His striving indicates that He is long-suffering, just as God was long-suffering in the days of Noah. He is one who is slow to anger. He isn't quick to execute vengeance. Some of us, if people annoy us, our children annoy us, we're very quick to rebuke them. And sometimes we may even rebuke when we shouldn't. Others are patient. Well, God is patient. And God is long-suffering. But if you continue to resist Him, if you keep on fighting back, the day may come when He will eventually withdraw His influence. My spirit shall not always strive with man. In 120 years, that will be it. As the prophet said to Jeremiah, Ezekiel in chapter 24, verse 13, "The night filthiness is lewdness, because I have purged thee and thou wast not purged. Thou shalt not be purged from thy filthiness anymore." You're refusing to be cleansed. You're refusing to be pardoned. Friend, is that you? Don't you realize it is dangerous to go on in sin and in unbelief? The Lord warned that you, certain things in your life are wrong. Turn from sin. Seek first God and His righteousness. Seek after holiness, repent of sin. What happens? Well, you get troubled, but then no, you just continue on. You're resisting. You're rejecting the truth. You're going on obstinately in known sin when you've been warned. What happens? You become hardened. You should have a society. Doesn't it seem that in their own society, the Spirit seems no longer to be striving with men? We seem to be given over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are inconvenient, despite sin bringing more sin and more problems. Not peace, not happiness. People won't listen. But what about you, friend? Are you resisting Him? He says, "Seek the Lord while you may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. There may be a day when you will not be able to find Him. The day of opportunity for you gone." You must close with Christ now. You must not, as it were, put yourself into darkness. Rather, come to Christ as He is, as you have been called to, and as the truth is speaking to you, saying, "That's true, and that's what I need." Because God's patience will not last forever. And you see, instead of having God's mercy because you resist, well, it can lead to judicial hardening. I was during the days of Genesis 6, in the days of Noah. It was true of pagan society and policy. What happens when the Holy Spirit no longer strives with man and society? They're given over to a reprobate mind, given over to sin, to do those things which are inconvenient. We find God in Psalm 81. The people wouldn't listen to what happened. So to the lusts of their own hearts, I them delivered. You think of Pharaoh. All the plagues. And as you read that account of the plagues, after each one you're thinking, surely now he's bound to let them go. The land's been ruined. God is demonstrating his power and he's rebuking them. And there's such judgment, surely he'll let them go. And each time he says, ask God to lift the plague. And I let them go. And immediately the plague is lifted. He changes his mind. His heart's becoming hard. God's giving him over to madness. Spiritual madness. He's left to himself. Left to his own desires. Left to his folly. Isn't that our society? What a fearful thing. It explains the stupidity of our rulers. Who want to destroy the foundations of the fabric of our society. You can't see the problems it's going to cause. Friend, if you as an individual keep on striving and resisting and resisting, it may be that God will say regarding you, leave him alone. Leave him to his idols. Yes, you may still even end. Be within the visible church under the preaching of the gospel. And yet, be insensitive to sin and to what he is saying. Perhaps you're here tonight, though, and you're worried. When you hear such things, God has stopped striving with me. Because you're concerned about yourself, because you've had many concerns over some months, over some years regarding sin, and yet you don't seem to have Christ. Oh, friend. If you're here tonight, and you're concerned that you may be being given over to hardness of heart and God no longer striving with you, there's no need to fear if you're still sensitive about sin. Surely that is the Spirit applying the truth, convicting you still. If you're still concerned, if you're concerned about being hardened, there's evidence that at least God has not given you over to sin and unbelief. You see, the Pharisees, they were hard. And they were disgusted at the thought that they were sinners. They weren't concerned that they might be hypocrites. They were sure they weren't hypocrites. And that this Jesus of Nazareth was an imposter. But you're concerned. You desire still to be found in Christ. Well, thank God that you have such concerns, such desires. There's evidence that the Spirit is striving with you. Make sure you come to Christ. Beware of becoming hardened and those concerns going away. It's dangerous to resist them. Are you resisting them tonight? the memory will lead to ultimate destruction if you go on in the course that you are taking. Look at here. My spirit will not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Yes, look at the three. There's 120 years before the judgment comes. Does that mean they're pardoned? Does that mean that all is well with them? They're in danger. The reprieve of judgment isn't pardon. It is just a stay of execution. Being in death row isn't much comfort to a prisoner. Because he knows the day is going to come sooner or later when he'll be taken out and executed. Friend, you go on without Christ. And though there may be a striving with you, and though God may be long-suffering toward you, he's going to be called before his judgment seat. And his greater will be your judgment and condemnation. Because he was speaking with you so long. And you have so many clear evidences of the truth. And at times your desires after Christ. And yet you kept on saying no. No, no. Because you loved your sin. And you loved your standing before others rather than loving God and loving Christ. Oh, friend, you must prepare. Seek after God now, because you're going to appear before that judgment seat one day. It will lead to destruction. Look what happened in the days of Noah. There's this collapse of society. The Lord withdrawing his influences, his restraints. And the wickedness just abounding more and more. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. And it gets to the point where God says, that's enough. I wish you'd never made man. I'm going to destroy him. And there's a destruction of the blood. Man has gone on in sin and rebellion. And therefore judgment comes. Not that God was being malicious. That's what they deserved. What a fearful thing when God says, leave them alone to their sin and to their destruction. You think of Rome, the decadence. The restraints removed. They became a decadent, careless, appallingly sinful society where they tolerated all sorts of sin and debauchery. As soon as a civilization collapsed. In today's society, well, it's much the same. That's the way things are going. And who knows that God may give over the West that ultimate collapse of a culture and destruction and chaos. What a fearful thing. But for you as an individual, what a fearful thing. To go on without Christ, to go on without hope in this world. As God brought swift destruction on them, after many years of patience, how he may bring swift destruction on you. Stop resisting him. Stop striving with him. Listen to him. As he brings the truth home to your spirits by his own spirit. Realize that you must appear before the holy judge. And that a greater destruction will come upon you than the destruction of the flood. It will be the deluge of God's wrath and a lost eternity forever. Friends, seek him while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Listen to him. Stop resisting. Remember the fig tree. The Lord saw, put your no fruit, cut it down, vine cumbereth it to ground. I'll leave it one year longer. Perhaps that's what God is saying about you. It would be said, cut it down, leave it one year longer. Oh, great. Plead with God to write the law in your heart. Plead with God to open your eyes to Christ and seek Him. And embrace Him. Rely upon Him as the Savior. Offered to you in the gospel. Who deals with sin. Stop striving. Stop listening to the lies of Satan. Who seeks to keep you from Christ. And to destroy your soul. But come to Christ. While the Lord is the day of salvation. Seek the Lord while He is to be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him turn unto the Lord. Yes, you. Why? Because He will have mercy upon you and forgive you as you turn to Him. Let us pray.